Good evening tonight. Very beautiful singing. It's a joy to be able to be back here tonight to worship our God. It's certainly hot outside, but it's cool in here, and it is a blessing to be able to be here tonight to welcome you to our services. And if you're visiting with us tonight, we are indeed thankful that you're here, and we want you to know that, and we hope that we demonstrate that by our behavior toward you. Cannot believe this is the first day of August, and that means school is just around the corner. I want to remind each of us that our college students will be returning to us. Our freshmen, I think, report this coming weekend, and we'll be getting ready for that. And there's a lot I'm sure you'll be hearing about in regard to that. And then, of course, the rest of the student body will be coming in a few days after them. So we're excited to have them back, and we certainly want to do everything we can to welcome them and to make things as easy as possible for them, and I know that you'll do such. Tonight I want to talk about, for the next few minutes, the subject of joy, what true joy actually is. I think we get the wrong definition of joy sometimes. We talk about temporary pleasures, things that bring temporary joy from time to time. And the world today is literally full of people who are brokenhearted, disappointed, broken down because of the results of temporary joy, temporary pleasures. We think about the one that is addicted to drugs or alcohol. We think about the one who is guilty of sexual immorality. There's a price to pay for temporary pleasure, for sin. Even though the world may consider such things as joy, we know that that's certainly not the case. Moses, I think, serves as a wonderful example along that line when he made a choice that in the minds of those of the world was a ridiculous choice, but Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I think about what Jesus said over in John chapter 15, verses 11 and 12. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now that's the secret to happiness. That's the secret to true joy. It is in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason that our joy must be full. It's all about the presence of our God. And if we want true peace, if we want joy and happiness, it has to come from Jesus Christ, who is the source of that joy. Now, I think we realize that discouragement is an enemy to happiness. Satan's always going to be there to attempt to give us temporary joy, but that joy simply will not last. Only God, through Jesus Christ, can give us real joy and peace. You know, Satan wants us to focus our attention on the things that we don't have, doesn't he? Rather than on the things that we have. People and material things can only bring short-term happiness, but Jesus gives life. Jesus gives us joy abundantly. You think about Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where the Bible says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose." You see, genuine joy and happiness does not depend on friends. Genuine joy does not depend on family or finances or health or position or education or situations or even circumstances. True joy depends on our relationship with God. Now, if you're not a joyful person today, that is your choice. You see, your happiness, your joy, is a state of mind in Christ Jesus. It's not just the way you are, but it's a decision that you make. It's the way that you choose to be. God and Jesus are the source of true happiness. And we need to put our faith and our trust in them. There's joy and peace and happiness in the Lord. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, how we can have true joy, true joy. I failed to mention, and certainly it is joyful for me to mention this, Sister Virginia Jones is back with us. She has been out for some 3 months plus, recuperating from a broken foot, and it fills me with joy to see her here tonight. She was here this morning. I didn't see her before services, and I told her I was going to get her good tonight. But she's here, and I know she's joyful about being able to be back with us. And we're joyful, not only about her, but others who make recoveries that are away from us from time to time, but they're able to come back. Tonight I want to begin by looking at Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. I want us to emphasize here that God always rejoices over His faithful children. The Bible says the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, even back in this particular day and time, during the time of the prophets, God longed for His people to be faithful to Him. And God sent punishment upon His people when they disregarded His commandments. And yet, God was always willing to take His people back. He rejoiced when His people were faithful to Him. And there's reasons in this verse for our joy as well. You think about the fact that God is in our midst, that we can have a real relationship with God, that He is the mighty one. He's concerned about you and me. He wants what's best for us. God rejoices over us when we're faithful. And the fact that He does that brings us joy as well. Or I think about Isaiah 62 and verse 5, where the Bible says, "For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you." Now, Israel in the Old Testament was God's chosen people. Today, we are Israel. We are God's chosen people. The church is God's people today. And it's a great honor. It ought to bring us great joy to know that we are God's people today as the bride of Christ. God rejoices over us today when we are faithful to Him, when we are committed to Him, when we are willing to always do what's right, and have the attitude that we will glorify our God by our actions and by our conduct. Let's look at a couple of quick illustrations of joy, if you will. I think about Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. And there Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he sells all that he has, and he buys that field." Now, how do you view tonight the kingdom of God? How do you view spiritual things? Now, there are some people today that will spend a lifetime in pursuit of various things. Maybe it's a precious stone somewhere. They're searching for something. What are we searching for? We need to seek first the kingdom of God. And here the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like a great treasure hid in a field. And you might picture unearthing that field. The Word of God, digging deeper, searching for the kingdom of God that brings joy to our lives. I think another good illustration of joy is found in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52, that the Bible says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And this joy here that they were filled with had nothing to do with outward circumstances, had nothing to do with the weather, it had nothing to do with their being in good standing with the people in their community. They had joy here in spite of opposition, in spite of heartache, in spite of the fact that Christians were even in danger of losing their lives. They had joy, and it was an inward attitude of mind, not dependent on outward circumstances. But you know, we need to think about as well the fact that there is a contrast here when it comes to joy. I've already briefly touched on the joy of the world. For example, the writer of Proverbs, which has so many wise sayings that we need to take to heart. The wise man said here, even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. You see, those in the world today that focus on the material and the physical, those that focus on satisfying their own physical lusts and desires, they may experience some temporary joy and happiness. There may be, as the writer says, some laughter, but it quickly turns to sorrow. I think about over in the book of Job, chapter 20, beginning in verse 4, we find this statement from Zophar. And of course, these men weren't very encouraging to Job in many respects, but I think Zophar made a very accurate statement here. He said, "Do you not know this of old?" He said, "Since man was placed on the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short. The joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment." You think about the individual that has no regard for the other person. He takes advantage of that person. He may reap something good as a result of that temporarily, but it's not going to lead to true joy. It will not last. The wicked may seem to achieve a victory here and a victory there. It may seem like, you know, it's just not fair sometimes, doesn't it? The Bible says here that the triumphing of the wicked is short. The hypocrite may gain certain things as a result of appearances, but he's going to get his reward, Jesus said in that great Sermon on the Mount. He may reap certain joys and pleasures from playing a role that's not truly what he is. But that joy is but for a moment. That's not the kind of joy we have as Christians. Our joy is true joy. Joy from knowing that we belong to God and the confidence that we have in our future when this life here is over. But you know, we have great reason for our joy. We could spend a lot of time to talking about why we can be joyful tonight, and we certainly need to be joyful. People in the world need to see us as joyful people. They may be confused sometimes as to why we're joyful, but they need to see our joy. One example of joyfulness that comes to mind is over in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. The Bible says here that the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." That brought them joy, right? They knew what they could accomplish with the Lord's help. And the Bible says, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Man, that would give me joy to be able to form these miracles, to be able to verify that I am the spokesman for God by the things that I can accomplish. That certainly ought to be a reason for joy. But notice what Jesus said here. He said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. What are you saying, Lord? Don't rejoice because we're able to go out and do what you want us to do, that we're able to perform miracles, that we have power over demons. We shouldn't rejoice in this. Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now tonight, you need to ask yourself the question, is my name written in heaven? Do I have confidence tonight, based upon my relationship with God, that my name is written in heaven? That no matter what happens to me in this life, no matter what threats may come my way, no matter what circumstances I may face, I can know that heaven is mine. Not because of me, not because of what I've done as such, but because of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross for my sins, and my submitting to His will and being what He would have me to be, giving me that hope of eternal life. You see, that's the reason to rejoice. Being a child of God, knowing that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Knowing that tonight, no matter what happens, I have the hope of eternal life. Tonight, I want to ask you, do you really have a reason to truly rejoice? Do you have joy, true joy, in your heart? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, though now do you not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, I remember some of those Christmases when I was a boy, and I remember those certain things that I'd asked for and wanted. And man, to go in there on Christmas morning and for that hope to come true, for you to get that present that you long for, that toy, man, it couldn't get any better than that, could it? But you see, those days have long since gone. And just like everything in life that is temporary, the joys that the temporary things of life will bring will soon be gone. But you see, we can have inexpressible joy. Verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We believe in God, don't we? Our belief in God is to the point that we are obedient to the commandments of God. And by sticking with things, not giving up, no matter what, enduring to the end result of that faithfulness is the salvation of our souls. Tonight, I hope that salvation is yours. Maybe tonight you don't have that hope. You don't have that confidence. You don't have that joy because you're outside of Christ. But tonight, if you believe in God with all of your heart, and in that faith you're willing to repent of your sins, you can be baptized into Christ upon the confession of your faith in Him. and you can know the joy and the confidence of salvation. Tonight, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we give you the opportunity to come right now as together we stand and sing.